Earlier, we spoke about heaven. Now, we'll look at some portions and then talk about hell. Matthew chapter 10. Look at verse 28. And be not afraid of them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in Gehenna. I told you that there are three words that are translated hell, and this is the word that should be translated hell. This is Gehenna. Now, let's look at Mark chapter 9. Please note that the Savior does not say that God is able to kill both body and soul in hell, but to destroy. I want you to notice the distinction. The word destroy means to put to an end the original use for which a thing was made. You've read about wineskins that are burst, and it says they are destroyed. But they're still there. You have cracks in them, old wine skins that have cracks in them, but they were intended to hold wine. But now they're destroyed when there are cracks in them and they cannot hold wine. And in like manner, you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. You were created for the glory of God. And if you will not have Christ as your Savior and God as your Father, then you are destroyed. When he casts you into the lake of fire, you are destroyed. Now, let's read. I'll read verse 43, 45, 47. So listen. And if thy hand cause thee to stumble, cut it off. It is good for thee to enter into life maimed, rather than having two hands, thy two hands, to go into Gehenna and to the unquenchable fire. 45. And if thy foot cause thee to stumble, cut it off. It is good for thee to enter into life halt rather than having 2 feet to be cast into Gehenna. 47. And if thine eye cause thee to stumble, cast it out. It is good for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye, rather than having 2 eyes to be cast into Gehenna, hell, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. For everyone shall be salted with fire. Notice, the worm is not quenched. Worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Everyone shall be salted with fire. Now, let's turn to Luke 16. Luke 16. I'm going to read this because a description of the temporary holding place of the wicked is going to be continued in the eternal holding place of the wicked. Hades is where men go in the condition they are in when they die, and that's where they are held until the resurrection. So let's look in Luke chapter 16 and read, starting at verse 19. Now, there was a certain rich man, and he was clothed in purple and fine linen, faring sumptuously every day. And a certain beggar, a poor man, named Lazarus, was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Yea, even the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and that he was carried away by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, now this is the temporary holding place, but the permanent Gehenna is like unto it. I explained, and I'll tell you again, it is simply the books opened, the decision what part you shall have in the lake of fire, and then what suffering you were experiencing in Hades shall be continued eternally in Gehenna, the lake of fire, hell. Verse 23, and in Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now here he is comforted, and thou art in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, that they that would pass from hence to you may not be able, and that none may cross over from thence to us. And he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. But Abraham saith, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one go to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if one rise from the dead. And two other scriptures. Turn to Revelation 14. I read Luke 16 about Hades to show you some particulars that are going to be eternal in hell, in Gehenna, the lake of fire. And in chapter 14, look at verse 9. And another angel, a third, followed him, saying with a great voice, if any man worshipeth the beast and his image, and receiveth a mark on his forehead or upon his hand, he also shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is prepared unmixed in the cup of his anger, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goeth up for ever and ever. And they have no rest day and night, they that have worshipped the beast and his image, and whoso receiveth the mark of his name. Now chapter 19. Chapter 19. This is the last battle on earth before the millennium. Verse 19 of 19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat upon the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought the signs in his sight, wherewith he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. They too were cast alive into the lake of fire that burneth with brimstone. This is hell. And the rest were killed with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, even the sword which came forth out of his mouth, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. Please notice that their bodies are not cast alive into the lake of fire. Their souls go into the temporary holding place. Their bodies are eaten by birds. Verse 1 of chapter 20. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years and cast him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him, that he should deceive the nations no more until the 1,000 years should be finished. After this, he must be loosed for a little time. And then he is loosed for a little time. And he comes out, and the last battle of earth at any time is fought and lost by the devil. Verse 10. Please notice that in chapter 9, the beast and the false prophet were cast into the lake of fire. Verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where are also the beast and the false prophet. 1,000 years have gone by, and the beast and the false prophet are still there. The word are is supplied, but we know that it means they are there. Why? Where are the beast and the false prophet? And they shall be tormented. If it were just the devil it was talking about, it would be he shall be tormented. But the devil and the beast and the false prophet, as I told you weeks ago, this place, it's prepared for the devil and his angels, but not only the devil and his angels, but also men are there as well. So now Satan is cast into the lake of fire. All right. Then you have the great white throne judgment. Verse 12. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. And books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it. And death and hell, this is Hades, death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell, Hades, were cast into the lake of fire. You say, well then, hell and the lake of fire can't be the same. No, because Hades or hell is cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is hell. This is the second death, even the lake of fire. And if any was not found written in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we confess that the words are so awesome that we've read that we cannot comprehend them. Our God, we would not expect to find them in the Holy Bible, but because it is a Holy Bible, we understand why they are there. Thou art too holy to behold iniquity. And we see, our God, what the holiness of thy nature demands. Forgive us, O Lord, for ever thinking of sin in such a trivial fashion. Please, by thy Spirit, let us understand the eternal consequences that are involved, and only thy Spirit can fill our hearts with terror. Thy Son came to give peace. Thy Son said so often, "Fear not." And yet thy Son said also, "Fear him who hath power to cast body and soul into Gehenna." So our God, let us fear. Let us know that this day, this eternal abode of those without Christ, can be avoided by faith in Christ. Let it be so for all who are here. Bring us to our senses, our God. As that young son in the far country, he came to himself and he returned home. So let us come to our senses as well and return to a Father who loves us before we're eternally separated from a Father who is holy and will not tolerate sin. So we confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. It is unnecessary to know all the details about the consequences of rejecting Christ or neglecting Christ. The end is the same. You say, I've never rejected Christ. If you have not trusted him as your Savior, you have neglected Christ. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? So to neglect is to experience the same destiny as to reject. And this is why I read all of these portions. And God tells you to be afraid. Is this not a remarkable thing? That whereas God created man for himself, but he created man to enjoy life in a sinless world, in a garden that was paradise. And man lost that original bliss and was cast out of that garden. But now God in his goodness wants man to return to a garden more blessed than that we read of in Genesis chapter 2. But what he tells us is this, that we are to fear God, who has power when he hath killed. When man has killed the body, God has power to cast both body and soul into Gehenna. Now, that's all that's said. Who would know? To cast into hell. What is going to happen? Why, who knows it's there? The Lord Jesus knows it's there. The rich man knows it's there. As in a coming day, the Antichrist and the false prophet will know that it's there. Cain knows that it's there. And this is the most horrible thing imaginable that can come to mind. That the first creature that was ever born, Cain, was pleaded with by God to repent, to offer a proper sacrifice. He rejected the overtures of God, the drawings of God. He would not yield. He would not repent. And when he died, this one is the first man who ever began experiencing the torments that we read of the rich man experiencing in Luke 16. Think of the horror of it. This first creature that was ever born upon the earth, and he sinned and he murdered and he was motivated by the devil. It says that in 1 John chapter 3. Not as Cain, who was of the evil one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his brother's works were righteous and his works were evil. And Cain has been in torments since the world began. And then those who at the time of the flood had not trusted Christ as Savior, they are in torments. And the rich man is in torments. And you will be in torments. And that temporary holding place is a picture of what the eternal holding place will be in that last day. But only at that last day, with few exceptions, is anyone going to be in hell, in Gehenna, in the lake of fire. Because only after the great white throne are the books opened, and the dead raised, the unrighteous dead mainly, they are raised, and the books are searched to see if their names are there. And if their names are not there, they're going to be cast into the lake of fire, hell. But it says this, it says they are judged according to their works written in the book. Everything that you've done is written down in God's book. You have forgotten it, but God has not forgotten it. And the horror is this, that in a coming day, the books are going to be opened and all the things that you forgot are going to be brought to your mind. And the worst thing is if God, in righteousness, looks for your name in the book of life and it's not going to be found. And there's only one thing that will happen to you then. You will be cast into the lake of fire. You say, well, what's the difference? If I've been in Hades in torments, it says they were judged according to their works that are written in the book. Not everyone in the lake of fire is going to have the same degree of torment in the lake of fire. That same principle was taught by our Savior in Luke chapter 12. It says that servant who knew his master's will and did it not shall be beaten with many stripes. But that servant who did not know his master's will and did it not shall be beaten with few stripes. So do not think that those who have sinned little in life, though they've not trusted Christ, shall have the same degree of torment. It shall be of the same duration, endless, but there are different degrees, and God knows. And this is what I want to bring to your attention first of all. Tell me any sin that the Savior lists against that rich man in Luke 16 that he did, that he went to hell and was in torments, Hades. Does it say he blasphemed God? You say, no. Did he commit adultery? You say, it doesn't say that. Was he a thief? No. Did he tell lies? Nothing is mentioned. All it says is that he fared sumptuously every day. His life was spent on enjoying life to the disregard of God. And since he had no time to repent, when he died, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. I promise you this, with all the wonderful times you're having, with all the plans you have made in the world, in a moment, God can bring them to an end. That's what the Savior tells us about again in Luke. There is this man who has a farm that brings forth abundantly, and he thinks of what he's going to do with the rich produce that he has. And while he's thinking of all the wonderful things he's going to do, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, be merry. And God says from him, from heaven to him, thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee. And this is what you do not know, that when God calls for your soul, that's when you render it up. There's nothing you can do to retain that soul when God calls it up. And because of that very thing, now is the day of salvation. And I confess this, that as I read passage after passage about the horrors of hell, I said, how could this thing be? The Bible wants to teach us about the exceeding sinfulness of sin. He wants to teach us that the wages of sin is death. He wants to teach us that sin is so heinous that it necessitated God's Son coming to earth and burying our sins in his own body on the tree. And so you think that hell is nothing. Ask Jesus Christ what he went through on the cross. And ask everyone from Cain to this present day, every sinner who has died and is in torments, the severity and the gravity of neglecting so great salvation. As I read those things, I said, nothing could be more horrible. I was sick last year, and I was sick for week after week after week, but thank God I got well. And at the same time, you have been in a time of the year when the heat is so oppressive, day after day, and there's no rain, and there's no breeze. But thank God, finally, it rains, and it becomes cool. But in hell, there is never any relief. I want you to understand some of the things that go on in hell, and this is most instructive, that once you get into hell, you think that perhaps you can call to heaven and its occupants for mercy, because that's what the rich man did. In hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and afar off he saw Abraham, and he said, "Here is my chance." He said, "Father Abraham, have mercy. Here is a sinner crying for mercy to an occupant of heaven." And the mercy was this: not take me out of hell. He said, "Send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in water and touch it to my tongue. Alleviate this pain. I am in torments." That's all he wanted. He cried to an occupant of heaven for mercy. And he was not given a drop of water, that degree of mercy. And that's why it says, now is the day of salvation. This is what he discovered. He discovered that there was a place like Abraham's bosom, which could have been his portion. But he also discovered that having neglected to repent, that instead of Abraham's bosom, there were the torments of hell that were his portion. And in hell, there was no alleviation of that suffering. What kind of God is this? I've tried to tell you about the sinfulness of sin, the wages of sin, but you will not believe it. You think somehow you're going to cry to God, and God is love and God is mercy. The rich man has already tried it, and heaven says no. The next thing is this. He says, "Oh God, this is such a horrible experience that I want Lazarus to go back and tell my brothers who are in my father's house, tell them that it's true, so that they not come to this place of torment." And Abraham says, "It will do no good." Now I want you to think, because this has been suggested, and it is humorous for a moment. Suppose, since he didn't get that drop of water to his tongue, he was already in the place of torment. Suppose he had talked Abraham into sending Lazarus back from the dead to warn his brothers. Now, if Lazarus came back, first of all, they would doubt that he had ever died. But if he had died and had come back, and he came to them with mercy and pleading in his heart and told them, "Your brother is in hell and he sent me back to warn you not to go there," they would probably bring a lawsuit against him for saying such a thing about his brother, and would try to put him to death and rid the world of him. Do you see what man would do? "How dare you say my brother is in hell?" And so some of you do have brothers and sisters in hell, or they're going to hell, unless they've trusted Christ as Savior. And if somebody came back and told them that your brother was in hell, would you want to believe it? But this is what he desired. Send somebody back. All right, this is the next thing. There are constantly those who say, "Hell is annihilation." Is the rich man annihilated? You say no. Well, hell, you can't think, you can't feel. He tells Abraham, "I'm in torment in this flame." You say, "Well, it's unconscious, it's sleep of the soul." This man is talking intelligently to an inhabitant of heaven. This is what I want you to understand. And here is what is of the greatest importance. He remembers the earth on which he lived. And he remembers that his brothers are still alive in his father's house. And he knows their conduct is well. It may be that just as Job's children, there were seven sons, and they got together, each one on his day, and they feasted and had good times. So no doubt this man who has all these brothers, he fared sumptuously with them every day. Who can put on the best clothes? Who can put on the best feast? And he remembers what he did day after day. And he says, my brothers on earth still doing it. And if they continue to do it without repenting, they will come to this place of torment. This is what I want you to know. That in hell, there is a remembrance of what is on earth while you are in hell. And there is a remembrance of the condition, the spiritual condition of those individuals on earth, whom if you were asked when you were with them, my brothers, they are wonderful brothers. They are good as anybody. They'll never go to hell. When he went to hell, he understood they were in the same spiritual condition that he was in. And that's what you're going to realize as well. Now, here is something that is profound, because if this man in hell knows what's going on upon earth, and he asks an occupant of heaven to send somebody to rescue them from coming to that place of torment, I tell you this, that in Luke 15, it says that those whom Christ has saved, they are in heaven, and it says there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now think, if a sinner in hell knows about the conditions on earth and he wants something done about it, do you not see how much more the inhabitants of heaven know about the things on earth and want something done about it? Some of you may have fathers who are in heaven. I have hope that my father touched the hem of Christ's garment and my father is in heaven. And when my father went to heaven, had I died at that time, I would have gone to hell. But my father is in heaven, and I have faith that he believes and knows that I am saved on earth. Because the one in hell knew that his brothers on earth were lost. Then the ones in heaven do not know of the spiritual condition of those with whom they were associated when they were on earth. Do the saved know less than the lost? You say, no, I wouldn't say that. Then, at the same time, there is a concern in the heart of that rich man for his brothers, even though he's a sinner. And all of you who have fathers in heaven and mothers in heaven, and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I tell you that they are longing in heaven, and I have no doubt that they would beseech the Savior in heaven if they could in any way influence him to miraculously save you without your believing. But I want you to understand this, that neither Abraham, nor the Lord Jesus, nor the Father will do anything that violates the plan of salvation, which is repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember a simple Bible teacher bringing to my attention just why this rich man was in hell. And I've never heard it anywhere else. And he was exactly right. And I told a man who was about 75 years old, he didn't know why that rich man went to hell. And I told him, and he said this, he said, I'm 75 years old, and I never knew until this day why that rich man went to hell. And it tells you so plainly, he knows why he's in hell. It says this, then, since you won't give me a drop of water for my tongue, please send Lazarus to my father's house where my brethren are, that they may repent, lest they come to this place of torment. He was there because he had not repented. And everybody who does not repent will also go to that place of torment. He was not there because he was rich and fared sumptuously every day. There are many rich people that fare sumptuously every day, but they do more kindnesses than this man did for Lazarus. Here he is and he's sick, but they didn't aid him in his sickness. And he wants to eat the crumbs that fall from that rich man's table. How little concern that he has for others. But if you have neglected those things, that will not send you to hell. It is not the sins that you commit that send you to hell. It is the lack of calling upon the name of the Lord to be saved. It is repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the only thing that will save a man. And I promise you that the Father will not save you unless you repent, unless there is genuine repentance and faith in Christ when the Spirit of God convicts you. Unless there is that genuine repentance, the Father will not save you, because your father or your mother or a sainted aunt in heaven wants you to get saved. The Lord Jesus, the only thing that God does when I pray, and if they are influenced by those speaking to the inhabitants of heaven, as the rich man spoke to Abraham, an inhabitant of heaven, the only thing that he could do would be to send more sweet influences of the Spirit of God to convict you of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. That's the only thing that God will do. But when you are drawn, you must run after Christ. This is what David said: "When thou didst say unto me, Seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek." And when the Spirit of God convicts you, and he says, "Repent and turn from your sins," your heart must say, "Yes, Lord, I will repent and turn from my sins and trust Christ as Savior." That is what you must do. And if you do not, as the rich man was in hell, and as Cain is in hell, and as every individual who has never repented is in hell, so you will be in hell. And understand this, that there is no getting out. In that temporary holding place, there's no getting out. And eventually, all that are there, I've heard of this, some, when they are carried from that county jail to be put in the federal penitentiary, they escape. But no one who is in this temporary holding place, when they are transferred to the lake of fire, the eternal holding place, not one of them is going to escape. They can use all their ingenuity as prisoners do. We are told that they think day and night of ways of escape, and some of them get out. But in hell, there is a great gulf fixed, and you will never get out. And if you say, "Well, perhaps when death and Hades are cast into the lake of fire, perhaps I will get out," there is no escape. This is the beauty. There is not one lost sheep that cries out pitifully to God, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Not one pitiful lost sheep that Christ will not find. And once you are lost, there is not one who is lost that will ever be found. And this is what God wants you to know. How long is that punishment? It says, "The smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night." And this is what I want you to understand. It has not gripped you yet that you're going to burn in the torments of hell if you do not have Christ as Savior. And you think that somehow it will be less than what God has said. It's going to be everything that God says. And so take advice from a sinner in hell. He wants word sent to you about that place of torment, and you've received word about that place of torment. Repent, trust in Christ, lest when you die, your body has been killed, but God is able to cast body and soul into hell. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, please forgive us for ever listening for a moment in the least to Satan, who said to our first mother, "Hath God said, you shall die? Thou shalt not die." We remember what you said, our Father, "Thou shalt surely die." And the world knows that that's true. And thou hast told us about, "It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." And we've read about that judgment. We know about death. We know nothing about life after death, but your Son has told us, and you have told us. So, our God, help us to flee from the wrath to come. Let us repent now in this life, lest we go to that place of torment from which there is no escape. Bless us to this end, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.